time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
It was like chaos, right? Like, I think they're all going to wake up tomorrow hungover.
Right?
Like, reaching in their pockets, going, what happened? How much money do I have left? Like, where did I get that cigarette?
With SI's Pat Forty.
That's why Texas is where it is. And somehow still able to upset the entire alignment of college football.
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. The NFL draft went to Las Vegas and got trashed. It got drunk.
It did. I kind of joined them, but. You know.
Pat, is how many beers into the night are we?
A few.
All right, a few. All right, this is not going to go well. If you listen to last year's, he and Pete were both hammered while I was working. I'm the sober one tonight. Sully, how are you doing?
I'm in Miami for a wedding, in the little Havana for
don't
a couple
say
of beers.
Anything else. Don't, HR is listening.
More cafecito than beer tonight, so we're good.
Okay. I said how, not where, but that's fine. You've said enough. All right. I'm going to have to carry this one.
Yeah.
So this thing was wild.
Yeah.
9 trades.
Woo.
Just on draft night. Tampa traded with Jacksonville. The Jets traded with Tennessee. Tennessee traded with Philly. Philly traded with Houston. Buffalo traded with Baltimore. Baltimore traded with Arizona. Kansas City traded with New England. Detroit traded with Minnesota. New Orleans traded with Washington. I think that's just tonight. The 29th pick in the draft went from San Francisco to Miami to Kansas City to New England, where Bill Belichick promptly took an FCS offensive lineman from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Sully.
Where are you from? Let's go.
Pre-production here, Sully was opining this might be the greatest night in Chattanooga history.
Yep. I mean, we're talking, pardon me, Roy, where is that the cat that got your two shoes? We're talking very few nights that have been this shining in the 4-2-3's history.
4-2-3, Cole Strange getting picked by the Patriots.
Extremely strange.
Cole Strange.
And then you had the Rams doing their like, after the draft, they're done, the hay's in the barn, and then Cole Strange gets picked while they're in their press conference, and they're like, whoa, where did this come from? I thought he was going to be there at 104. So, hey,
yeah,
that's the Patriots.
Belichick likes him. He likes him a little bit more. Is this really the best night, though? I mean,
yeah,
with
let's
the mocks,
think about this.
I mean, like, what does happen in Chattanooga, Sully?
Not a lot. It's a great town. But, I mean, up until this point, getting named, like, the 30th best city to retire in, it was the best act. That was it. That's the cream in the crop. So this, we're not trying to get over a big hill here.
So okay. The 29th player pick certainly beats the 30th best city to retire in right there. So yeah. Okay. All right.
In 2011, an episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition was filmed.
Okay.
There's that.
One of the pivotal battles of the Civil War was fought there, Lookout Mountain.
Yeah, I guess if we want to go to war, it's one of the best moments. Toby Keith had a concert in 2007.
There you go.
Elton John's played there 3 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been to the Roundhouse a bunch, weirdly.
Wow.
Why is Elton John so popular in Chattanooga?
I don't know. A lot of karaoke nights I've sung Elton John in Chattanooga, so I get it.
I covered an FCS championship game in Chattanooga once.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. It used to be so good there. I don't know why Frisco has it.
A pretty little city. There's no question.
No, it is. No. Enjoyed it.
More good things should happen at Chattanooga, so maybe this is the start.
Yeah, they just went on the NCAA tournament run. Cole Strange gets picked. It's all uphill from here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm looking at the Wikipedia history of Chattanooga, and there's, like, Civil War.
Moon
a
Pie.
Big flood. Yeah.
One of the Coca-Cola founders is from there, and that's about it.
Downtown revitalization, of course.
Oh, yeah.
There was going with that.
Who hadn't had that?
Anyway, it was that kind of night. There was just crazy stuff happening. Left and right. It was so crazy. I think the Jets won the draft.
I would say the Eagles are close.
Eagles did to get AJ Brown. Oh my god. What, like Every receiver, every really like top flight receiver, it seems like in the NFL has changed locations. I mean, like they're all just like
Jordan Davis,
and then we had six other ones drafted. Well, they're all getting traded and they're all getting drafted. It's
most
crazy.
Most in the modern era in the top 20 picks for wide receivers.
And there was the top six in the top 18.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was lunacy. The wide receivers, and you know, they started at eight. So in a 10 or 11 pick, there was 11 picks. There was six receivers. There was a run on them. Yeah. Including the 10, 11, 12 scenario where you had Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jameson Williams, who like a year and a half ago were all sharing the same wide receiver room at Ohio State.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, the big debate in the NFL right now is, do you pay a receiver to draft these young ones and get them on the cheap? Because like Jamar, it used to be this was a position you did not want young guys. Occasionally you'd get guys that were really good as rookies. Obviously like Randy Moss has like 17 touchdowns as a rookie, but you didn't want rookies, but Jamar Chase kind of changed everything.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm not paying X number of dollars for these guys when I can get these young ones. And there's 7-on-7 ball, and there's so many receivers out there now.
Yeah.
Is this the new trend, you know, which is pretty interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's so funny. The ball goes outside of the hash marks now, you know, like there's no running backs got picked. So it's quarterbacks throwing the ball to the outside of the receivers, and then all the action related to getting to the quarterback is obviously on the inside, and that's where your pass rushers and your offensive tackles all got picked. Is fascinating, and I think we thought Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, no-brainers, and Jameson Williams, but he's coming off the knee, but still all four of those guys. But then after that, and it's like, Jahan Dotson and Treylon Burks, who, you know, they're good players, but it's like, oh my gosh, they're going that high. It was a pretty crazy run on wideouts.
No running backs.
Zero.
One quarterback, Kenny Pickett.
Yep. With much discussion of his hands.
His hand size, only 8.5 inches.
Yep. See, like Trumpian hand size. We got issues.
Have a measurement on that?
I don't know. It drives me crazy, though, because the guy was throwing in frozen weather in November in the same freaking stadium. Or, like, he's good. He's freaking good.
Well, that's probably why that team took him, because they're in that same freaking stadium and they could watch him and say, yeah, you know, he's fine throwing the ball with an 8.5 inch hand. You know, that was the guy.
Let's be clear, though. Like, playing up until Thanksgiving is one thing. You got
right,
you know. No,
playing December past gets Christmas a lot worse. Is a different deal.
Yeah, and January gets even worse, and the regular season now goes into January. So it could be a factor. I mean, there was a lot of turnover, a lot of fumbles and stuff. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a big deal. They said Burrow's hands weren't that big, right?
Right.
Seemed like
how's he doing? How's Joe
seems
Burrow doing?
Like it's okay. I mean, they just got to find stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, you know. The pre-draft discussions. Kayvon Thibodeau is too into other things. Does he love football?
Right.
Just like, you know, he's kind of well-rounded and intrigued with other.
You just hate to have a well-rounded guy.
I mean, too much personality.
Heaven forbid he can unplug after a bad game or something and get right for the next week. Gosh.
We can't have that. We can't have that.
Who, let's just go around the bit, okay? Like, I'm not saying if you had the number one pick or like what you got to pick them in order, but who do you believe? We all watch a lot of college football, obviously. You're just like, that was a good pick.
Start with you, Pat. All right. Yeah. Now, the one I guess that jumped out to me at four, there were several, but at 14, Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame, going to the Ravens. The Ravens just get studs on defense. It's unbelievable. They've done this forever. From Ed Reed forward, they get guys, you know, it's incredible. Ray Lewis, Suggs, whatever, getting on and on and on and on. But Kyle Hamilton at 14, this is a guy, he makes plays. And they were like, well, he's, you know, maybe not quite. He's not fast enough, da, da, da. I saw him at Notre Dame against good competition making plays all the damn time. In coverage, in run support, occasional blitzes. Give me that guy. I thought
he's
that
fast
was
fast enough as a safety for sure, too.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Baltimore just had to sit there. Everyone was making trades, and Baltimore's just sitting there like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had a great safety since Ed Reed. Now you may not be Ed. We're not going to put that on you, but
they showed again why they have one of the best front offices, because they just take the best available every time, and it works time after time.
Yeah, again. It's a little like Pittsburgh sitting there and getting Kenny Pickett. Like, you know, like if Kenny Pickett pans out, then, you know, it's like New England sitting there and getting Mac Jones, and Pittsburgh desperate for a QB because that division's got everybody. I don't know. We'll get to Pickett in a minute. Well, let's just do it now. We're talking Pickett. Do you think Pickett can make it?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I think his intangibles are great. He had a phenomenal season. He certainly has a chance, but people were like, oh, Malik Willis dropped out of the first round. I'm not sure I would have taken any quarterback in the first round. I really, because I thought there were so many other good players, especially on defense in this draft. But that's an acute need for Pittsburgh. And you've got a guy that you've been able to watch up close as much as you want there. And, you know, I think he was the best pick at quarterback in the draft. Malik Willis may have bigger upside, but I'm just a little bit nervous about him as a pure pocket guy. So take your shot with him. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But given what Pittsburgh needed, yeah, I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, I agree. There's a reason no one else took him, right? But right. Pittsburgh did, because they had to have him.
Yeah.
It's worth that risk. And I thought Pickett would actually, I remember at the end of the season thinking Pickett's the guy to me who'd get that buzz and move up, because guys move up, right? You're not sitting there like a year, you know, Zach Wilson ends up the number two pick, right? Like during the season, you're not sitting there going, oh, Zach Wilson, I'm watching the number two pick here.
I mean, Pete was on him early.
But he was, and he's a good player.
He was on him, but he wasn't talking number two pick.
Right. Trey Lance went third. I mean, everybody was going last year, right?
Yeah.
Pickett never rose for whatever reason. Great athlete, really good runner, good mobility, which, you know, the first time he scrambles for a first down, like, you know, they're going to be like, wait, you can do that? We've had Roethlisberger here for like two. Big Ben was the best at never getting sacked because no one could knock him over.
Yeah. 6'6", 250, but that didn't translate into moving forward.
Strong man. Remember the story? We never found out the truth of this, where Donald Trump said he played golf with Ben Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger Roethlisberger hit a tee shot into a tree, right off a tree. And he said he hit it so hard, he hit the tree. And then 2 years later, Trump was back at the same course, and he said the tree was dead. Now, we know, I would say even his greatest supporter knows that maybe Mr. Trump has been known to, like, you know, hype up a story a little, you know, pump a story up a little bit. But did Ben kill a tree? Is he such a good driver that he killed a tree? I don't believe so, but I don't know. Could be. So that's the kind of pressure Kenny Pickett's under.
I don't know. Harvey, but he's a very good athlete, did good kill runner. Trees. Ben Roethlisberger did not. Let's just put that out there.
The drive. Imagine hitting the drive so hard, you kill the tree.
Kill the tree. Come on.
That's a little.
Someday I'm going to run into Roethlisberger and ask him that.
Yeah, right.
That's a cherry Trump story.
We could talk about a lot of things in your 17-year career, but
how about this time?
Yeah.
Did you kill the tree? All right. Sully, who's your pick other than the Chattanooga guy? Guy it is loved. You love the pick.
Pat kind of stole my dude, but it's hard to say that the Eagles didn't kill it tonight with Jordan Davis. They're at 13.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a freaking grizzly bear in the middle on top of the fact you traded for AJ Brown. Like, that team crushed it. Make draft day two about the Eagles this year. That was money, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the Jets really were draft day, because they take Sauce Gardner at 4.
Yep.
And then they get Garrett Wilson at 10. I mean,
God,
he's awesome.
Yep.
But to take Garrett Wilson, especially if you're a fan and you're just living on the mock drafts, you're going, I like Garrett Wilson. That's great. But I wanted Jermaine Johnson. He was dropping. We had heard Jermaine Johnson was up to like in the top 5. So you sit there and go, all right, we really could use a pass rush because we're the Jets. We could use everything. But this Garrett Wilson guy is unbelievable. And then you end up getting Jermaine Johnson anyway, because the whole league decides to draft all these wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it's like they forgot about defensive end. He's like the third best defensive end and the fourth best defensive end in the league, and he comes down all the way there.
Yeah, yeah, no, for like Jets fans who are accustomed to being pissed off on draft night, geez, you might got to try a new act. Although I will say that I did nominate them for the fans in Las Vegas taking themselves the most seriously. You know, like they're all trying to look so intense on camera, like here we are on the at the draft. Like, just shut the up and watch your team pick your players.
I want my picks and I want David goddamn Putney just because I feel like it.
Yes. But you got Sauce, who had his chain. He had his multiple chains, but the one with the actual sauce bottle on it.
Respect.
That was very strong. Garrett
Drake
Wilson.
London. With the DL with the fight on in the middle of it was also strong.
Did he have that? I missed that. There's a lot of change going. I like a lot of bling, you know. Which hey, it's the draft. That's pretty much what you expect.
Vegas, yeah. Come. I mean,
yes, the draft in Vegas.
I was show up in a sensible blue suit. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I was chastised because I said I really didn't understand why they had a dance troupe at the beginning, and I was like, "Well, it's Vegas." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, you're right. I guess that's why we need that."
There was no level of ridiculousness.
They had Cirque du Soleil going like an hour before the draft. So
I love Atlanta getting Drake London because I just love Drake London.
Yeah,
and now you've got Kyle Pitts in like as your inside guy and Drake London like.
No,
I'm not expecting a whole lot out of Atlanta, but geez.
No, but there was a lot of. I think a lot of teams did very well. Not all of them, but a lot of them did.
I'm a
really
huge
well.
Chris Olave fan.
Yes,
he's the CD Lamb of this year. Where I remember CD Lamb, I was like, that guy's he's good. He's gonna be good.
Yep.
No question. Hutchinson, I think, is almost impossible to miss.
Yeah,
that's like his floor is like. You know, 8-year starter.
Yeah, yeah,
something
that's
like
it.
That.
Like he's the most risk free pick in the entire draft. You know,
yeah,
he's just like, there's no reason to think he's not going to be very good for a long time. Now, is he going to be great ever? I don't know. I think that's why Trevon Walker went ahead of him because some people think that there's just more upside there. But I mean, there ain't a lot to knock about Aiden Hutchinson.
5 Georgia Bulldogs, all on defense.
And they didn't take the best one. That's my opinion. Nakobe Dean. Dean, the linebacker. Inside. Here's the problem. 5'11 inside linebacker. And you get to your measurables and this. He's going to get 100. He's going to make 100 tackles a year for whoever drafts him for who knows how many years. He is incredibly fast. He's unbelievably smart. He reads plays. He falls out of the first round. I mean,
he's a Bobby Wagner type missile where he's just going to get 100 tackles a year.
Yeah. Jeez. I know that the Bucks, I think, pick first in the second round. They probably have other needs there, but somebody's got to be sitting there saying, we're going to take Nakobe Dean first.
It was
damn
like,
thing.
It was like chaos, right? Like, I think they're all going to wake up tomorrow hungover.
Right,
like reaching in their pockets, going, "What happened? How much money do I have left? Like, where did I get that cigarette? What? Yeah. I don't smoke."
It was a very, it was a very Vegas night. Speaking of which, I'm getting another beer. Hold, please. You guys go.
They all left thinking they're winners, which is true on all draft nights. But a Vegas morning eventually arrives with the truth, and you know, somebody's got to be like. You know, there's going to be some busts out there. So we'll see. But yeah, five of them, two Alabama Crimson Tide were picked, Jameson Williams and then Evan Neal at 7. Evan Neal's selection means Alabama has had a first round pick for 14 consecutive years.
It's unbelievable.
That ties them all time with Miami, which from 1995 to 2008 had 14 straight years. Now, interestingly, 2008, when this streak, I wouldn't say began, the year before it began, Alabama did not have anyone picked in the entire draft.
Wow, in 2007, is that right?
Or 7 or 8, whenever it started, yeah.
Okay.
I think they got beat by Monroe that year. That was
Saban's first year was 07.
They had nobody.
And they got
now
beat by
they've
Monroe.
Had 41 since then, first rounders.
Unbelievable.
Now, they're going to break the record next year because they could go Bryce Young, Will Anderson, 1-2, 2-1, whatever. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, like, with their recruiting, like, they're going to get to 20 or something.
Oh.
Even if Saban retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
This machine isn't slowing down. Like, Miami's puttered out.
He's damn near doubled up the amount of first round draft picks compared to losses at Alabama in his career. It's gross.
Wow. How many losses does he have?
25.
25 losses and 41 first round draft picks.
Yeah. And that disparity will keep growing because for sure, I mean, like, to me, I like Will Anderson's number one next year and then Bryce Young, maybe number two. I don't know. But they're those
what they lose two games this year and they only had two first round picks. So it was a push this year.
That's true. It was a push. It won't be a push next year. It will not be a push.
No, there's going to be I don't anticipate two losses. Big 12 football fans. I hope you had a nice night off. Not a single player from the Big 12 got drafted. You would have to jump on and claim Sauce Gardner as the future
Big 12. Yeah,
not good. It's not like you are anchored in Texas where there's like a gazillion players. I don't quite know how that happened. Oklahoma didn't have anybody, nothing. So not a great run there for the Big 12. Texas, nobody. Since 2016, Texas has two players selected in the first two rounds. So good.
That tells you everything you need to know. That's why Texas is where it is and somehow still able to upset the entire alignment of college football. But, God almighty, the product on the field just sucks. And, I mean, for them to have nobody, Baylor, Oklahoma State, I mean, come on. Oklahoma, obviously. Where are the players here?
It's TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, they're usually always developing somebody.
Right.
Yeah. That is going to be the single biggest challenge of this league going forward.
Yeah.
Is getting guys.
Vanderbilt has had more picks than Texas since 2016 in the first couple of rounds.
Vandy. Yeah, there you go. Boom. The longest active drought without a first round NFL draft pick. This is from Pick Six Previews. This is crazy. Pat, have you looked at this on Sully's Rundown or not? Because don't look.
Of course not. I never read the rundown.
Okay. I didn't think you read the rundown. Picks. Let's see if you can figure out, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 9 teams that are at least 13 years without a first round draft pick. Power five, right? Okay. These are all, yep, power five. So we're not just talking anybody. Go ahead and try to name a team.
9 teams in the power five in the last 13 years who have not had a first round pick.
At least 13. Some go way longer.
Okay. Yeah, there's some longer ones, but at least 13.
All right. I'm going to say like Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yes. 13 right. years. Okay, there's go. One.
Okay. Kansas.
Kansas has gone 15 years, yes.
All right. Okay.
2 for 2. Good job, buddy.
Oregon State.
No.
Ah.
Must add somebody.
Okay. Rutgers.
Rutgers, 13 years, yes.
There we go. How about Maryland?
No, they must have had somebody. No. Vandy's on here.
Vandy's on there.
I figure you would have not picked them because I guess their 3 picks were all second rounders.
The second rounders, yeah.
15 years of Vandy.
Okay.
There's 4 of them. You want me to give you some clues?
Yeah, give me some clues.
Water.
Well, we'll get to that one.
Oh, Iowa State.
Iowa State has gone 50 years.
50? Come on, man. Really?
According to this.
Oh, my God.
That's true, Sully. 50?
Like 1972, somebody got picked.
I'm going to check. Let's see. Keith Sims in 1990 was a second round pick. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 1973, George Amundsen right. was picked by Houston at 14. He may be the only one ever.
Really?
He's the only one guy. Iowa State. The water doesn't work. It's a lie. How the hell do you have a relatively reasonable program?
Yeah, right.
for 100 years and only have one guy. UMass has more guys.
They had a shot with Breece tonight, and they didn't get it done.
That is unbelievable.
First round pick ever.
One guy. One guy.
Wow.
UMass has two. They were both in 1966 and 68, but still.
Hey, it's two.
Pick is a pick.
No. See? Yeah, no. The fraudulence just continues out of Ames.
Ames is just a joke.
I mean, think all about right. it. Who's the best that, player just, in Iowa State for the past 20 years? Probably like Sine Kovalis. And he went in
but he was, round. He was not an NFL. Yeah, right. No? Good point.
All but, right. Others, Virginia has gone 14 years.
Yeah.
Kansas State has gone 14 years.
Yeah.
Arizona has gone 15. And the Indiana Hoosiers, 29 years without a first-round pick.
Wow. So that goes back to, like, Vaughn Dunbar.
Is that your pick on like who it is?
1993, yeah.
That's you believe it pick. Is Vaught? That's your – all right, I'm going to look this up. Is it Vaughn Dunbar?
Vaughn Dunbar, running back.
It's Michael Penix. Can he get it? He didn't reach the pylon against Penn State.
He didn't, and now he's transferred.
1994, Thomas Lewis.
Ah, okay. Receiver.
Went to the Giants.
Receiver, yeah.
Vaughn Dunbar, 1992. He was a first-round pick.
All right. See? Listen
Not
to
bad,
me.
Pat.
Listen
that's to me. Yeah. Rant. Yeah. Wow. I got to say, that's some
serious that's a pull.
Trivia. Yeah.
That,
So there you go.
See? So, all right. So we have fraudulence and names. How about we'll get into this more when we have a chance to fully investigate it, but Missouri is now claiming their drum is bigger than Purdue's. Not as big as Korea's drum, but.
All right. You want to get to this right now? Yes. There is an additional dispute in the big drum competition.
There is.
Purdue's claim of the world's largest drum, which is just obviously not true because the South Koreans have numerous drums bigger. I mean, you have to climb stairs to play the drum. Mizzou is stepping it up. Coach Drink has got to be behind this.
I guarantee it.
Shady Gators NIL money has gotten Big Mo regarded as the biggest bass drum in college football. Was tuned this week for the first time since 2019. It came before a high school musical. The iconic drum weighs 800 pounds, stands 9 feet tall, is 4 feet, 6 inches wide. It was moved from its home at Memorial Stadium to the Lowry Mall for its tuning.
There we go.
The truck pulled the drum in a secure fashion while members of the Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma, Mizzou's fraternity and sorority. They have band frats and they have a band frat?
That's news to me. I cannot tell you.
He probably couldn't even get invited to the band frat party.
I probably couldn't have. I guarantee it. But take that, Purdue. You know, one more fraudulent link in your drum heritage here. So good for Missouri for stepping up.
Big Mo was built in 2011 as a project led by a professor at Gordon State College in Georgia, Bompani. He has his own music company. Mizzou ordered up a drum that would thump claims by Texas, Big Bertha, and Purdue, big bass drum, for having the biggest drum played at college football. You try to latch onto something you could call unique, Bompani said. It's like bragging rights thing. It's about having the biggest and the best. So they say they are bigger.
So
Purdue, what you got?
Is that like you literally just put in an order to some dude somewhere in Georgia and say, apparently. Hey, we'd like the biggest drum ever, please. Can you please give us the biggest drum? Find the measurements for that Purdue thing and find the measurements for Texas. Yeah, can we please
Purdue
beat
won't
that?
Give out its measurements.
Okay. So you have to do that or what?
Yeah, Big Bertha's 8 feet tall and 44 inches wide. So they just went bigger than that. No, Purdue's just, I mean, it's just deceptive. It's just deceptive. All right. There's your drum story. So, Pat, how do you feel? Your alma mater as America's biggest drum.
Absolutely swelling with pride. It's incredible. You know, the feeling. Much
can we
more...
get a Missouri-Purdue football rivalry? They can bring the drums there.
They can fight over fourth best in their respective divisions.
What an exciting series that would be.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones everyone's like, they'll just come across Twitter like Purdue and Missouri have scheduled a two-game right. series,
yeah,
2031 and 2034.
Everybody yawns. They did play actually semi-recently. But yeah, no, that's like, okay, Missouri actually cares about the journalism school and Purdue cares about the engineering school. And if either of them happen to be good in athletics, that's a nice little benefit.
At least Purdue got Karlaftis tonight, so we'll give him
they
that.
They did. George Karlaftis, first-round pick. And, I mean, going back to the fall, people were saying he was going to be a top-10 pick. So to get him late first round, but the thing about that, that was classic NFL stuff, and it's not to say they don't know what they're talking about. Karlaftis went to the Chiefs. The words that came out of somebody's mouth might have been Mike Greenberg's or whoever I was watching on ESPN. You know, and then the short arms came in. It's like, well, I mean, I guess his arms were always the same length. I don't think they shrank from the fall, but, you know,
they were even shorter when he was younger.
Yeah, well, they certainly were. When
the man was a former member of the Greek national water polo.
How about that?
That's an athlete.
Those guys are tough.
Oh, water polo guys are specimens. Absolute specimens. I give George Karlaftis a very good chance to be a good player.
How much better is Trevon Walker's draft night than Joe Burrow's? Just 2 years later. Joe Burrow, it was supposed to be in Vegas that year. He got the COVID draft, and he had to be at his parents' house.
Alone. Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember us podcasting that night. Yeah.
Yes. He got stuck like sleeping in his boyhood bed with like a Ohio State sheets or something.
Right. Yeah.
And Trevon Walker is literally the toast of Vegas tonight.
Of Vegas. Yeah. He's rolling. I mean, although, shoot, was he even there? I'm trying to think.
He didn't go. Maybe Hutch is the star of the show.
I think that's Hutch. Right.
Trevon Walker was not there, was he?
I don't think he was.
Talk about the biggest disappointment of the entire draft is being the number one pick and not being in Vegas to just pop bottles all night. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, right? Right.
That's a night you'll never forget.
Seems like something you'd regret later on.
You only get drafted first off overall once.
I want to get to work. I want to make sure I'm sober for the Meet the Beat Writers the next day.
Yeah, right. Like, come on.
Let's get to work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Aiden Hutchinson's not messing around.
Nope. I'm sure it was a big night for him and his family. I think we actually broke the news on this podcast that Hutchinson's dad, who's an ER surgeon in Royal Oak, Michigan, I believe, operated on a dude who was attacked by both an aardvark and a lion, two separate surgeries years apart.
The zoo is right near it's not far from the hospital.
Yeah, they get all the zoo mishaps.
So it was a zoo worker, and he got attacked by an aardvark. Right? Trying to help you through because you're clearly not in, you're not doing your best here.
That's
Pat.
Fine.
Not
you
your
know.
Best work.
Fill in the details.
And then they found out the guy had previously been bit by a lion.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. They get him on the table and they're like, what are these other scars here? And he's like, oh, yeah, I was bitten by a lion. He's like, oh, I sewed you up then, too.
There you go. You know what? This is why, Pat, your performance tonight is why I made the Big Game Boomer top 100 college football media and you did not. That's what I think. I'm a picture of
professionalism. You made like the top 25, too. That was big.
Professionalism and sobriety and taking the job seriously.
Yeah. Kind of like, yes, big game boomer himself, whoever he may be.
Big game boomer put himself on the list at 99. Kirk Herbstreit was number one. Lee Corso, two. Gus Johnson. I mean, that's the big time right there.
Oh, yeah.
I checked in at 38.
How about that?
And freaking Pete's at 32, which I'm not happy about.
Big game boomer. Big game boomer, Oklahoma fan. I've been slightly uncharitable towards Oklahoma recently.
Oh, you think that's what you think it is? Yeah. It's you're calling bias rather than just this is an accurate list of our abilities. Yeah. It's top 100 best media personalities in college football. It says right here.
Pat's at least 100.
It's on the internet, Pat. It must be true.
Well, of course. Who's like number 67?
Sean McDonough.
He's
way better than I am.
Yeah, he should be ahead of you. Are you kidding me? How about 83?
Let's see. Bob Wischusen.
Good for Bob.
Yeah.
But the world.
I mean, Big Game Boomer, he puts out at Big Game Boomer, if you want random weird lists he put out about college football. He's kind of entertaining. But like some of his stuff's like, you know, it's like best college town in America. And then he'll have like Los Angeles. Like, because it's like U.S. Right. Oh, that really fits the guy's very obsessed with. He's very into it.
But congratulations, Dan, on your ranking. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Happy for you.
Maybe I don't even think you got in the others receiving votes.
I probably didn't. I'll try harder next year.
do a little work, do better. Be better. Okay, so this is, you know, it's draft night, but honestly, funniest slash most horrifying slash most, I don't know what.
Most 2022 story,
Yeah, involving college sports was a basketball story involving the Miami Hurricanes. You're not really expecting that. This is from Jonathan Giovanni and Jeff Barzello at ESPN. Miami Hurricane guard Isaiah Wong will enter the transfer portal on Friday if his name, image, and likeness compensation isn't increased. His name, image, and likeness agent, Adam Pappas of Next Sports Agency, told ESPN on Thursday. If Isaiah and his family don't feel the NIL number meets their expectations, they will be entering the transfer portal while maintaining his eligibility in the NBA draft and going through the draft process. Wong, a two-time All-ACC player, second-leading player, reached the Elite Eight, declared for the draft earlier this week. Isaiah would like to stay at Miami. He had a great season leading his team to the Elite Eight. He has seen what incoming Miami Hurricane basketball players are getting in NIL, and he would like his NIL to reflect that he was a team leader of an Elite Eight team. The issue is K-State transfer Nigel Pack, who we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
Got a two-year deal worth $800,000 plus a car to transfer from Kansas State to Miami. The deal was funded by billionaire John Ruiz, who has been at the forefront of the NIL movement. So, like, none of this is technically has anything to do with Miami. So, technically, Wong is arguing with Ruiz, and Ruiz says he's not renegotiating. Isaiah is under contract, Ruiz said in a text message to ESPN. He's been treated by Life Wallet exceptionally well. That's the name of whatever the hell he's doing. If that is what he decides, I wish him well. However, I do not renegotiate. I cannot disclose the amount, but I can say he was treated very fairly. Pat, we have straight up threats of free agency, renegotiations, bitterness. Like, they...
If I don't get more than NIL,
we're going to continue to find the bottom.
Yeah.
And we ain't there yet. But boy, they got to this bottom pretty quick.
It was a sprint to the near bottom, at least, for Isaiah Wong to suddenly go on a salary drive here and say, my Life Wallet deal needs to be better than that guy's Life Wallet deal, because that guy was on a team that couldn't even go to the NCAA tournament. But on my team, went to the Final Eight. I mean, this is hilarious. It's unbelievable. Isaiah Wong is an okay player. It's not like he's bad, but it's not like he's can't live without him. So, you know, if you're in charge of deals for Isaiah Wong, I think I would go and say, you know, the market is the market. And
Ruiz, that's what he's doing. Ruiz has signed 111 deals. Signed or pending with Hurricane athletes to produce companies Life Wallet and Cigarette Racing, according to the Miami Herald. The one issue is Nigel Pack discussing his pay.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is outrageous. Nigel Pack is making $800,000 for 2 years as coming as a guy from K-State who averaged 17 points a game, which is crazy. And so that's where Isaiah Wong's like, hey, wait a minute.
This is the stuff that, well, first off, this stuff kind of went on. It went on in recruiting because you sign a guy and then the current players want that money. So this is just behind the scenes. But now it's out in the open. But this is the stuff that, like, Jim Larrinake has got to deal with and figure out how to make it work. Because Nigel Pack is great. You're getting the money, but you can't just throw too much money at the new guy. I don't blame Wong. I mean, he's like, I'm the two-time All-ACC player. This guy's, you know, is he that good or not? We don't know.
Right. No, I don't blame Wong, but at the same time, I also might sit there and say, if you're Ruiz, who apparently now is running Miami basketball, to Jim Larrinaga's surprise, but I might also say, you know what? Is Isaiah Wong irreplaceable? Hit the bricks and we'll get somebody else and we'll be okay.
But if you're Jim Larrinaga, you are undoubtedly hoping for both of these guys.
Oh, of course. If you're Jim Larrinaga, for sure. But if you're the guy who's now the general manager of Miami Hurricane Basketball Incorporated, you're probably saying, Jim, don't worry. We'll get
this is why Jimbo Fisher fought so loudly about that $30 million claim.
Yeah.
Right. The $30 million was not exactly an accurate figure. And that's why he went crazy, because all the other guys are going, whoa, where's my millions?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
But this is some bold stuff. I mean.
Yeah. And talk about welcome to the future or the present. Like, this is it now. It's like, okay. People that are going to broadcast their deals, then other people on your team are going to be paying attention.
Total headache for Miami. People are freaking out. To me, it won't really affect a whole lot. But it's certainly no fan likes hearing, like, I don't care, even a pro team. You know, no one likes holdouts or contract disputes, right? Even though you know that's part of the deal, right? So that part's not fun. But yeah, this is going to be a challenge for coaches to figure out how to manage this thing, because technically Larrañaga can't even talk to Ruiz about the deals.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Clearly, I mean, how do, if you're the, especially basketball, we only need a few guys.
Right. No.
Like, how do you know that you're just going to throw 800 at Nigel Pack and it's like, oh, we don't really want him.
Well, and that's where let's go ahead and, you know, like, pull the curtain back. You don't think there is communication with, I mean, maybe John Ruiz unilaterally upped the ante or whatever to get to 800 grand, but certainly it was communicated to him, yes, we would very much like Nigel Pack. Do what you need to do. And maybe it got away and became 800, but still, like, to make anybody think that the Miami basketball coaching staff has no idea what's going on out there. Come on, man. That's not the way it's happening.
I mean, this is just, it's Nevin Shapiro, but out in the open.
Yeah. Yeah.
He funded the basketball team for a little while.
Sure. But not, you know, Nevin probably had a little more, at least Nevin wasn't literally tweeting the terms of the agreements that he reached, which is what John Ruiz did.
If he had thought about it at the time, he probably would have.
He probably would have. 200 grand, three hookers, and the use of my boat in Biscayne Bay.
Anyway, classic. This will be a big story. People will flip out. I don't know. I mean, look, leave it to something in South Florida to go off the rails this quickly. Just like, let's just cut to the chase and stop pretending. We need more money here. You overpaid that guy. My guy's better than Nigel.
Yeah. Sully, you're down there. Do a little shoe leather for us, man.
Yeah, get over there, Sully. Yeah.
Get over to Coral Gables.
I got a wedding. I got a wedding at the amazing art museum over here on the bay. I'm going to be too busy for the next couple days.
Get over there and see what Nigel Pack is like, you know, walking around just like throwing out hundreds or whatever.
He's not walking. He got a car. He's got a car and the 800 grand.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Fairly amusing to me. But yeah, they're going to have to figure this stuff out. All right, update on our ongoing saga in college baseball. See, we're the only NFL draft pod that talked about college basketball and college baseball.
See, we're all things to all people.
Yeah, so we mentioned Bethany College, Kansas Wesleyan baseball game, and the Kansas Wesleyan Barstool account accused Bethany poisoning the water at the baseball game, putting paint thinner in our water coolers to get our baseball players sick, and then still getting toasted by 31 runs is wild. The game ended 33-2. Stay classy. Glad all our players are okay. Buck Fethany. So this is NAIA, little school baseball. We're not even sure these are schools. At least one of them seemed to be just athletes.
Bethany, the Swedes, the Fighting Swedes in Lindsberg or whatever,
they
Kansas.
Have 17 college teams and 5 E teams, and they only have 800 students. So we're pretty sure everyone at the school is a student, is an athlete. Maybe some of them are, we don't know.
I think we determined there were 4 students, non-athletic
anyway,
students.
Yeah. Turns out that the police are all over this. The Lindsberg Police Department in Kansas, bang up work by the Lindsberg PD. They have, and of course, I'm reading a TMZ article on this. You know this has gone big when it's TMZ.
And they have the entire police report in there.
Well, yeah, TMZ's great. Yeah.
I think we're the fire starter on this. I think we are the awareness raiser
Well, we TMZ, have
which I'm sure
KWU Barstool. I mean, they're really on this.
Well,
the
yes, the fact
they have a picture of the paint thinner in the thing.
They do. The fact that there is a KWU Barstool is charming and
all right.
Quaint,
law enforcement has determined no one affiliated with Bethany College and Kansas Wesleyan responsible for allegedly dumping paint thinner in the water cooler. The Lindsberg PD conducted more than 60 interviews. Just someone on Twitter pointed out it's probably like half the town. How many people live in Lindsberg? Collected multiple pieces of evidence, photographed the scene.
And you go down on the police report, and then there's like a little area for evidence, and it says water jug value.
It does.
$30.
Property description of loss. Property drug code 1199. Water jug $130.
Well, you know.
Yeah, they're on it. Anyway, police say nobody at either school was responsible for tampering the water. So, Bethany, you're in the clear on that. Police say they have, however, identified two male juveniles being involved in the incident, but are still actively investigating the situation. No suspects have been named. It's not good. I mean, the potential offenses are criminal threat, contaminated food, water source, battery. So that's a battery charge. Knowing recklessly causing bodily harm and criminal damage to property, because I guess the water cooler got its paint stripped off.
Potentially some future Swedes involved here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's two kids, basically,
mm-hmm.
in Lindsborg, just out there wilding. We're going to get crime in this country. It's out of control.
Well, look, man, you got to what's the big social event in town? A Bethany baseball game, of course.
We so got to go poison the guys. 3,700 people live in Lindsborg.
Yeah.
It's known for its large Swedish
That's
population.
Why Bethany's the Swedes. Come on.
I did not know that.
Come on.
They have a huge Dala horse, like a traditional carved painted wooden statue of a horse. Downtown. They also have a bed and breakfast there.
Well, those aren't common.
It's not a lot on Wikipedia.
Climate. Everyone has a bed and breakfast, even Lindsborg. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, if you're a kid in Lindsborg, I guess you go to the game and maybe you decide, geez, we hate Kansas Wesleyan so much here at the home of the Swedes. We're going to poison them. And you get caught. So then it reflects badly on the Swedes themselves, the team, the Fighting Swedes. And now apparently justice is going to be done. But again, I fully believe that TMZ would know nothing about this if it weren't for the pod.
Possible. We'll take, we're influencers.
Yeah,
we're
influencers. We're awareness raisers.
These guys are in a lot of trouble. That's the problem.
Lindsborg
PD's all over this. Well, 60 interviews.
What else do they have to do?
Let's just leave it on this. Another crime and punishment story. This is from AL.com. Yeah, so this is an ongoing investigation. So this is really a public service. This is really a public service, especially if you live in Escambia County.
Escambia, yeah.
Escambia, okay. Police in South Alabama town are searching for a female theft suspect. They said made her getaway on a stolen riding lawnmower.
Okay,
she stole, a lawnmower. Police say they do not know the identity of the woman, but say the items pictured in a small trailer pulled by the lawnmower are also stolen. That includes an Alabama Crimson Tide sign. The Alabama A represents the Chiefs' favorite football team, but it is also stolen, the Post said. So there's an Alabama yard sign, and they have a picture of this woman.
On the run? On the move?
Yeah. I'm a big lawnmower guy. She's got a little rider mower there. She's wearing a mask, like a COVID mask. She's not fooling anyone. She seems to be wearing blue jeans and Crocs. And she's got this little trailer behind her, and it's got some junk in it and the Alabama. So this woman needs to be stopped because we just can't be having people stealing your Crimson Tide lawn signs. I mean, you put a lawn sign out there, you expect some respect.
Yes.
Maybe she's an Auburn fan. I don't know. but she steals a lawnmower and then steals. This is, Pat, is this a good getaway vehicle? Is this, I mean, no, what?
It's not, as a matter of fact. Like, how has she not been caught yet? Like, how long can she be on the run on that thing? A, how much gas? B, how fast can she go?
Put a cruiser. Flomaton, Alabama. Yeah.
Put a cruiser on her tail. I think they're going to get her. I don't know.
But the lawnmower could, like, get off road and he just starts doing some work. And you
I
don't...
suppose so.
Town like, of 1400.
You know, Bonnie and Clyde lived a long time on the lamb and stuff. I just don't see this one. I don't think she's going to be.
Right on the panhandle, right in the border.
Yeah, right.
She's probably making a run to the Floribama.
Probably. Floribama Lounge. This She'll pull up into the parking lot there.
Yeah, This is there's no excuse for this. This woman needs to be locked up. First off, you don't touch someone else's lawnmower.
There we go.
Okay, mowing the lawn is a sacred thing.
We've reached Wetzel's hot point here.
Yeah, don't touch my lawnmower. And B, you don't just be stealing Alabama lawn signs. This is just not acceptable. Flomaton, Alabama woman.
Yeah.
The good people of Flomaton are undergoing a crime wave. Lock up your lawnmowers.
Clearly.
Keep your eyes out. Call the cops if you see anything suspicious.
Go down to the Floribama Lounge and look for the lawnmower in the parking lot.
Someone took a picture of her. Or I guess this is surveillance on the lawnmower. But they didn't. Like, we can't stop this person. Gets in those backwoods, though, man. It's hard to find anyone down there.
See?
It's been a long time since I've Floribama, but, I mean, it's a nice outdoor spot.
Yeah.
I believe they have an annual mullet toss down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, good on the Floribama. Anyway, maybe that's, if I was looking for this woman, that's where I would look. She's probably rolling down Highway 29 right at it. I don't know. This has just got to end, though. This is country's got, it's insane. This is insane.
End the lawnmower theft, end this podcast, both.
Yeah, please. I don't know. We tried. Probably not. This was not the best or most insightful NFL draft pod, but it was a NFL draft pod.
It was. With a college tinge and some paint thinner and some stolen lawnmower thrown in.
Sully, play us that Chattanooga song you got. Play that on the way out. We'll be back next week. We'll aspire to be better. No guarantees. Talk to you later. We call it Chattown. That's where we're from. From Chattanooga. 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 We is all the pimps. From Chattanooga. We is all the pimps. We is all the pimps. From Chattanooga. Don't catch me showing out for people, I ain't got nothing to prove. No. But if somebody show out on me, I ain't got nothing to lose. Real. That's my mentality when roaming in the city. I'm at between the Ville and Atlanta. This the city of Chat. A lot of drama going on in these Tennessee streets.